Well, I sure appreciated that song. That just was such a blessing. Appreciate the Lord giving those songs to different ones. It's a real blessing to our services. And we just need the Lord to help us again this morning. We know that if the Lord helps us, then everything is possible. And the Lord can just help us each one to have something in our souls and something good to our souls from the Word. I was thinking this morning, I feel like the Lord gave me some scriptures and I want to share these with us. In Psalms 37 and 37, and I pray that the Lord will help us to be able to express what I feel like His burden is. I appreciate this scripture. It says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." I was looking in Clark's commentary, and he says here, "Take notice of him. He is perfect in his soul, God having saved him from all sin and filled him with his own love and image. And he is upright in his conduct and his end. Die when he may or where he may. His peace, quietness, and assurance forever." And I'm thinking this morning about our end, and not really just totally the end of our life when we die, although that's in there. I believe that's part of what this is talking about. But you know, there's an end in place in our life. There's an on down the road time of our life, and where we reap the things we have sown. And there's a place in our life where the things that we have received from the Lord become a blessing to us there. Or the things that we have taken into our life of the enemy becomes a real curse to us there. And so I want to look a little bit about some of the promises of God that He has given to us. I thought about the scripture. I'm just going to quote this. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And I'm thinking this morning about a possession that the Lord has given for us in our lives, that He has said, "This is your land and this is your inheritance, and I'm going to give it to you." We spoke some the other a few weeks ago about our inheritance, but I want to think a little bit more about some things that the Lord wants to put into our lives. And Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And you know, you think about the scripture we read, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." You know, the Lord came to bring all of us life abundantly. I believe He did that. Now, He didn't tell us we would all have an easy life, but He said, "I came to bring life." He's talking about something in our soul. And so this morning, I trust the Lord will help us to be able to work with this in such a way that maybe we can get a little deeper glimpse from the Lord this morning about, Lord, where do you want us to go and what do you have for us in this life? In Numbers 13 and 27, we read here, Numbers 13 and 27, "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." You know, this was when the spies had went into the land of Canaan, and the land of possession, the land of promise that God had promised these people. And they came back and they said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And they had it in their hands, and they said, "This is what's there. We know this is what's there. We've seen it. with our eyes. Though we're not able, we're not in there right now, we know it's there. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning. We go on down there. It says the Amalekites dwell in the south of the land, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And that's the scripture I want us to think about this morning. Caleb looked at that and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, what kind of land is this talking about? What significance would this have to us today? I think most of us know some of these answers. But I want to look in Joshua 1 and 2 and 3. Now, the people there, as soon as Caleb said that, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." If you look in Joshua 1, in verses 2 and 3, it says, Moses had passed on, and the Lord took him, and he died. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." You know, this was a land of promise, and it was a good land. It was a place where they were supposed to have houses that they didn't build. There were supposed to be things there that was going to be a blessing to them. And today, I know we consider that the land of promise to us, a land of sanctification, a land where the Lord wants to take us and give us good things in our life and in our spirit. And I want us to just think about our life this morning a little bit as that land that God has given us to possess and inherit. I think about the good things in the land, in life, in our flesh even, that God has given us to inherit and be a blessing to us when it's in subjection. And I think about the opposition that the flesh is to our inheriting the good things in life and in our spiritual life, in the spiritual land that we would come and take. There is real opposition to that. And so I just want to look a little bit. These people had opportunity here to enter into this place. And because they didn't believe, maybe some negligence, they looked at giants, they looked at things, and they said, "We can't do that. We can't go in there. We cannot inherit that place." Most of the spies that went in that saw what was there, that saw what God had promised to them, said, "We can't go there." You know, I want us to think about this morning a few little thoughts about this land. There were giants in that place. And I think about, they ended up going in 40 years later. All the adults that were over 20 years old did not go in except Caleb and Joshua. But they went in, and they went in and conquered a lot of places in the land of Canaan. They conquered a lot of what God had given them to conquer, but there was still quite a bit of it they didn't conquer. And you know, it was that part that gave them so much trouble in their life. And through the times, I think about Joshua, they came in and they took, and the Lord was with them and told them how to fight their battles. And they came up against Jericho, and not by their power, but the Lord had told them, "I'm going to give you Jericho, and this is what I want you to do." And it was by the power of the Lord that those walls just fell down right in front of them. They just fell to the ground. Great and high walls, thick and tall, fell down. That's an impossibility, but they did, because God had promised them the inheritance of this land. You know, I think about the league that maybe we'll read that in a few minutes. But I think about the league that Joshua made with some of the inhabitants of the land before he ever consulted the Lord. Along came some fellas, and they had bread that was all moldy, and they purposely made it look like we're from a far country, they said. And so without even thinking about it, Joshua made a league with them. You know, those people gave him trouble later. They said, "We'll be your servants." But you know what? It wasn't the blessing. God wanted them to have that place. He didn't want them to make a league. And you know, there was a lot of other places in the land of promise that God had promised them that, unlike Caleb, when he came into his place, Moses had promised him a certain area. And you know, he looked at that, and he looked at that mountain, and he said, "Now give me this mountain." That was Caleb that said that. And he took that. But there was a lot of areas that they didn't take. And we see them for hundreds and hundreds of years later. Those places they did not take came back to cause them an awful lot of trouble. And I just want to think about things this morning. Lord, help us that we can inherit the promises that you have promised to us. Our flesh and the land of promise that God has given to us, there is no reason for us to be walloped and for years and years the enemy taking advantage of our life and our relationships, the beauty of our relationships that could be there, the beauty of so many areas in our life. There's no reason for those to be attacked again and again by things that the Lord wanted us to put to death to start with. The Lord said, "Don't make a league with them. You put them to death, all of them. Don't make any leagues." You know, I'm just thinking this morning, oh, how the Lord came to bring life. How much He has promised to His people. And how much He wants us to go in and take the land that He has given to us. Joshua told them, he said, the Lord said, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." This didn't say there wouldn't be any battles. It did not say there would not be troubles. But it said, "I'm going to give you that land." And you know, then that land, all the good that was in that land was to serve them. You know, the things that we have in our flesh today, I believe the Lord wants to turn those things around to serve us in our lives. The things that would trouble us, the Lord wants them to serve us. And I want to talk a little bit about some of those things in a few minutes. In Romans 15 and 4, I think about the flesh or life or however you want to say it. I know we die to the flesh, but when we go into the land of Canaan, tell me who doesn't have to fight some battles with old self. There's some things we have to put to death, and we've got to be willing to fight those fights and willing to go into that place, because there's a lot to be inherited there. And in Romans 15 and 4, it says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." You know, the Lord wants us, He has hope for us. We look at ourselves sometimes and we see the places we need to move into. Folks, we're people, all of us are. Sometimes we see ourselves and realize, I got some work to do. There's some things that need to be dealt with in our lives sometimes. We're all that way. And you know, it says here that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know, the Lord, many people, and sometimes you talk to people and they'll tell you, you know, "I just made the wrong choices," and, you know, life, and they start telling you all these troubles that life, now I'm not talking about things, all of us have troubles, but things in their heart, things in their makeup, things in their, that they've allowed into their lives until you want to cry with them. There is hope, folks. through the Scriptures and through patience and through the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Lord has some good things for us to inherit. And we want to look at some of those things. And one more scripture or two here about that. Hebrews 6 and 12 is another place that he says here, Hebrews 6 and 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now we read these scriptures a few weeks ago, but I want us to think about them again this morning. That through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God in our lives. The promises God has for us. We're not talking about some dream, but something that the Lord wants to do in our lives for us. And it comes through battle. It comes through entering into the land of Canaan. Entering into God's place. And submitting our lives to Him and letting Him have control. And then going out to fight the battles of the Lord. In Psalms 1 and 3, one more place, the scripture here speaks of a tree, and he's speaking of a righteous man, and the man that follows after the things of the Lord. And he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want us to think a little about that this morning. The Lord, I believe, plans for us to be like a tree in our life. We've all seen a lot of trees. I went out by a lake one time, and I saw a bunch of trees, and they were standing out in the water. They weren't on the ground. There was a big oak tree. I remember so vividly, a beautiful big oak tree. It was all leafed out. It was green. It was beautiful. And standing just not very far from that was all kinds of trees that had been a tree. And they were just sticks. They were just standing in the water. You know, the Lord tells us that we will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm thinking this morning about our life and growing in the things of God until the Lord makes our life a blessing to us and hopefully to others. The Lord doesn't want our tree to be all shriveled up and some spindly little thing. He talks about here that we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I believe we can claim this as a promise. And so this morning, as we go into a few things and look at some things of who we are, that the Lord would help us to realize, Lord, I believe a little along that you want to help me to grow and to make progress until year by year I gain a little more and a little more. I was thinking about our lives and thinking about what maybe describes people. You look at people's lives. I've seen people that are cheerful. They're a joy to be around. I love to be around people that are cheerful. They cheer me up. I thought about the scripture, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Have you seen people, and I've known some like this, and I will tell you, I have admired these people. I've wanted to pattern my life after them. People that have quiet confidence in the Lord. Not just in themselves, but they have a contact with the Lord. They believe in Him. They have confidence in Him. I have seen folks that are temperate. They control themselves. They have control over themselves. You know, the Lord wants us to be temperate. Sweet. I'm just bringing out a few little things. Approachable. Have you seen folks that are approachable? Have you seen folks that are unapproachable? And when you speak to them, you get ready for the wind and the sound and the hurt and the hit and all of those things. You know, that's what we can be. I've seen people that are positive. I've seen people that are happy. I've seen people that are peaceful and gracious. People that have a peace about their life. I will tell you, Brother Veda McMillan is one that I have loved to watch his life. He used to come in on young people's meetings when I first started. And we would have young people's meeting during camp meeting. And he would sit in there. And you know, it was no problem to me to have him there. He was such a blessing. He was such a strength because of his spirit and of his help that he gave. Unoffensive in our words and gentle. We read the scripture, Mark the perfect man. We're talking about traits here that we all want to have. All of us probably want to be these kind of ways. But you know, we have to take possession of some of those things. You know, I think about the opposite of some of these things. You ever been around somebody that was grumpy? Have you ever worked for a boss that was grumpy? And you never knew when you went to work what he was going to do, what he was going to say. You pick up the phone, you call him, and oh, I got to make this call. And you put it off for a while. You finally call him. And sure enough, he has some more of his words. You ever been around somebody that felt sorry for their self? Just felt sorry for their self. Just loved to do that. You know, worried, troubled, or talkative, or selfish, stingy. Quick to speak, complaining, hard to approach, negative, sorrowful, untemperate. Have you seen? I know we've all seen probably some of these traits in ourselves. If we squarely look at ourselves, we say, Lord, I need to be a little more temperate. Lord, my words need to be a little softer. I need to be a little more gentle. This morning, I want to reason with us. These folks that went into the land of Canaan suffered things they did not need to suffer. Over and over and over. Because they did not expel out of the land of promise those enemies that God told them, I don't want you to make any league with it. Because if you do, they'll come back. In different places, he tells them, they'll marry your daughters. They'll cause you trouble. You know what, saints, this morning, I'm not talking to sinners, really. I'm talking to all of us. The Lord has a land of promise for us. You know what it's like in marriage to be married to someone that is cheerful and that is happy? You know what it's like for someone that has taken ground in their life that they might not have used to had? You know what it's like to be able to approach somebody that used to not be able to be approached because somebody took some land? You can start working some things out like that. You know the value that we have when we allow God to work in our lives like He wants to work? The Lord has a rich place, and here's the fruit of it. They said, here's the fruit of it. I see it. I'm handling it. But they weren't in that land. They just spied it out. Caleb and Joshua took that land. They went in and they inherited that place. I want us to think this morning, when Caleb went in, there was a mountain there that he took that we mentioned. And I believe, if I remember right, there was giants at that mountain, if I remember correctly. You know, That didn't stop Caleb at all, because Caleb was not believing in himself. He said, now give me that mountain. Because he believed God. From the very start, he believed that God was going to give him this place. And I want us to this morning to think about some of these things. Oh, what would it be like if I could conquer those places that give me trouble? What would it be like if I could conquer some of those areas that, you know, these different things, these things can lead into sin. But they're not always sin. Sometimes they're just character traits that we have to work on. We have to work on ourselves. Some people are a little bit unapproachable. They hardly even know it. But you know what? The Lord wants us to work on that area. He wants us to capture that area until we are approachable. Until someone can tell us our fault and we don't defend ourselves. The Lord wants that in our life. You know what the value of capturing that piece of land is? It means all the difference in how happy we are. How somebody responds to us in our home. In our job. All over. That's what happens. Lord, teach us and help us. You have things for us, I know. You know what it's like? Have you ever been around somebody that's really selfish? Whatever happens, when it's all settled, they're going to have the biggest piece of pie. And it might be a lot bigger than your piece. Now, I mentioned pie. Maybe food always meant something to me. So I had to conquer some areas there. But you know what? Selfishness destroys relationships. Selfishness in us. And if we defend it, if we give it a home in the land God has given us, and we give it a place, do you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause us trouble. It's going to cause us trouble. And if we will put that thing to death and let God have that, Lord, now my wife, and there's been times my wife has told me some things that I needed to hear. And you know what? If we just will allow God to use that, there's places He wants us to inherit. Okay, Lord, that's true. That's true. It's more true than I thought it was. And we begin to work. We begin to fight. Lord, how do I take this battle? They went to Ai. They went to Jericho and the walls fell down. And the next place they went to Ai and they got beat because of disobedience. You know, the Lord wants us to take these places. And He wants us to be obedient in our life. He wants us to hear the Spirit of the Lord checking us and working on our heart and working on our life. And I just, Lord, help us this morning. We can't follow all the areas of the flesh. I just want to hit this kind of in a general way here. There isn't any way to go everywhere. The flesh can inhabit so many areas of our lives. But you know what? Every place that we give the flesh, we suffer for. And here is the worst thing. Do you know that our tongue? Now I know there's a place that if we don't tame our tongue that we can sin. But there's also a place that we may not be sinning, but we can cause some problems. And you know, after through the years go by, walls begin to be built and fortifications and more walls. Until we can't even get close. The Lord has a land of promise for us. And it's inheriting this flesh. It's inheriting the land the flesh holds today. Our life. The Lord said, I came to bring life. And I came to bring it more abundantly. I came to bring it abundantly. I came to bring plenty of life. I came that you could have grace over yourself. That's what the Lord tells us. Who will believe the report and go in and inherit those places? I will tell you, I believe that if we will start when we're young, some of us aren't young, But if we will start wherever we are and allow God to work with us, Lord, I want to inherit the land of God. The land of promise that you promised me that the flesh inhabits now, I want that land. I want that mountain, that tongue that hasn't been gentle and tamed by your spirit like you wanted it to be. You know, we might need to do business with God. Lord, why is my tongue like this? Why are those walls built when you promised me grapes and flowing with milk and honey and all of these things, and here I am with thorns, things that are tearing me up, things that are tearing up. You know what the Lord wants? He says, I want you to inherit that land. I want you to have it. I want you to put your foot on it. Every place you put the sole of your foot, it's yours, he said. But we've got to go in and get it. We've got to believe that the Lord will do that for us. It comes at a real humbling of our flesh and of ourself. And we have to recognize, Lord, this is me. I need your help. Here is a giant that's got to die. I believe the Lord has that for us this morning. Many times we suffer by those things coming back to get us. And through the years, we suffer more and more and more if we're not careful. In Proverbs 25 and 11, I just want to look at some of the contrast between some of these things. It says, Proverbs 25 and 11, listen to this. A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. That can be to anybody. Is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A beautiful picture. That's what a word fitly spoken is like. Contrast that to a word that is spoken in haste or in anger, and the difference that it brings. In James 3 and 2, and I'm just going to mention this because our time's running out. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know, there's so much that lays on that. The Lord said through his word, if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle the whole body. There isn't anything that you can't do. That's a good place for us to start. Lord, I want to inhabit the land that I know is there. I want to inherit those places in my life. If we said that opposite, we might say, if any man offend in word, the same as an imperfect man and unable to bring his body into control. You know, and there's so many areas here, I know, that we could go. But I'm thinking this morning about another area where some of the things that we as people deal with as a whole is the tongue. Another place is feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, that's a major thing among people, is feeling, why me? Why don't I have what they have? Why isn't life easier for me? How come they got that played in their life? Well, you know, I was thinking about the scripture, and we know, Romans 8 and 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know when we inherit that promise and we rest on that, you know what that does for us in our life? It can take a lot of anxiety out of our life. You ever been around someone that was just anxious all the time? Oh, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, well, the Lord's going to take care of us. That's what's going to happen. The Lord's going to take care of all his children. That's what's going to happen. He'll always do that. All things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. To them that love God, I was thinking about another scripture in Proverbs 11 and 24 that just brings out another little thing here. Proverbs 11 and 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, it says there is a place that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. You know, if we're a farmer and we don't plant our crops, or all of them, we're going to be hungry when the time of harvest comes. Do you know, if we are selfish in our life and we withhold the love, the care, the gentleness, if we withhold the things that we should be giving to someone else or others, it says it tendeth to poverty. It comes back in time. There's a harvest that we reap. But listen to the other side of this. It says the liberal soul shall be made fat. The guy that gets out there and plants plenty and plants the good stuff, the seed, the things that are right in his life, the things that make for peace, the things that make for a really good relationships and things like that. It says, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And he'll be made fat. I believe these are promises we can inherit. I refuse to let the enemy keep us, saints, from the things that the Lord wants us to have in our lives. Many times we suffer all, and I know I've said this, but we suffer so much for the places that we do not take from the flesh in our life. We suffer so much for that. Lord, give us faith to believe that you'll lead us into all the land of promise. In Philippians 4 and 13, anybody know what that says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We know we can't do these things. You know, if we're led about by our flesh, we'll be intemperate. We'll be so intemperate that it'll shorten our life up a whole bunch. It's very possible for that to happen. The Lord wants us to inherit some places and be able to work with Him and be workers with Him together in our lives. Have our lives in proper balance. I believe it comes from the Spirit of the Lord leading us. In Exodus 23 and 30, there's a little promise here. By little and little, this was the promise that the Lord gave them of what He would do for them in the land of promise. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. You know, if we feel like that we got it all the night we were sanctified, we're going to be mistaken. I believe we got all the power we need the night we were sanctified. I believe the Lord changed some things in us that'll make us different in our life. I say that from experience. But there's a lot of land that we have to gain after we get in that place. And so, this morning, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. The Lord wants us to be able not to look at the whole thing and say, I can't do it. But Lord, this battle right here, I need help. I need to know how you want me to fight this. And sometimes it's different ways. Sometimes it's working with the spiritual aspect and with the physical aspect of things. The Lord wants us to be able to begin to work with Him. Lord, how do I fight this battle? How do I win in the battle that I'm in? I believe the Lord will give it to us if we will let Him. Conquer those traits that would destroy us. Or they may not destroy us. They might just make us miserable. Is that not true? They might just make us miserable. Conquer those traits. Why should we let the enemy have that area of our life where we're not able to really overcome and make that servant to us? You know, it's hard if we are worried about everything to enjoy life. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to lay hold on the promises of God. Lord, it don't look very good, I know. But I'm laying hold on the promise of God, and I believe I can have peace in that. You have promised that you won't leave us nor forsake us. The Lord wants us to have that, I believe. In Ecclesiastes 3:1 is another scripture that I like. This scripture, I believe it's so pertinent to our life. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." You know, there is a time for us to take the land. There is a time for us and a season for us. They went into that land. There was a time for them to take it. But you know, if they didn't take it and they lived with it for 100 years, after a while it came back, and there was a time that they suffered for not taking that. I just want us to be challenged this morning. The Lord, there is a time for us to be working on ourselves. Let it be now before the time of suffering comes, that we can find the time of harvest. Because the harvest is going to come, why should we suffer when the Lord has promised us to inherit the land? He's promised us to inherit those places, those things that would trouble us, I believe, can be turned around to actually be a blessing. Second Corinthians 3:18, maybe we'll wrap up with this. I was also thinking about a scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, this changing, I believe, comes from us beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror. When you look in a mirror, that's what the Word of the Lord is like. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror. Looking at the Word. Lord, teach me. When I see your Word and it crosses my flesh, Lord, help me not to make a league with it. Help me not to say, I just can't. It's because, you know, my dad was that way. And, you know, it's just a family trait. I can't seem to whip that. You know, when we make a league with that, there's things I believe that we can make a league with that sometimes we may still be able to live saved. But I'll tell you what, it's going to cause us a lot of trouble, and it's going to threaten to overthrow our very salvation. And can sometimes. "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." As we behold that, it says we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from place to place, one piece of land to the next, one step to the next step. If we look at it all and we just say, well, I can never be like that, well, and we throw up our hands, then we never will be. But if we see it, and we look in the Word of the Lord, and little by little, we start going that way, working that way. Lord, I want you to take me there. I want you to help me with those things. I believe that what we will find is that these things will begin to serve us. I remember Sister Catherine Williams, and what a blessing the Spirit of the Lord working through her was. What a blessing her joyful disposition and her strength in the things of the Lord was. But I've been told by one that talked to her that there was a day that she felt like she just had a spirit of oppression. So much so that in her life she was just totally depressed all the time. And you know, the Lord helped her out of that. And that very thing that was so strong on her became one of her strongest points. It became such a tool in the hand of the Lord. She submitted that to the Lord, and the Lord helped her. She received help from the Lord and inherited a place in her life that she didn't have before. I believe there's places like that that the Lord wants us to inherit. We mentioned selfishness or hard to approach, or you can say it about any of them, untemperance. Do you know when we go in and inherit those places and take them, they become a strength to us and to other people? Because the Lord then begins to work through that thing. We begin to help others to realize how they can be more temperate or whatever. And maybe we had a problem at one time. You know, the Lord wants to take that flesh and make it something that we inherit the place that it had in our life and make it a blessing, I believe. Lord, help us. I'm in this life too, and I'm speaking to myself too. I want to inherit all the promises of God. I don't want to have troubles in my life. I don't want to have troubles that are created because I did not inherit the place the flesh had in my life. And so we are all in this battle together. But saints, we have hope. By the comfort and the hope that the Scriptures give, if we'll believe God and move into those places, we'll be surprised at the land and what's in the land. Because it is a good land. It flows with milk and honey. And I know from personal experience, when you move into some of those places, it is a sweet thing to have. And there is good things that are there. You feed from them and you feed others from them. It's a blessing to your whole life. Amen.